Well, today we're in week two of our series called No Ordinary Father. And if you missed last week, we talked about how God has chosen to reveal himself to us, not like some angry boss in the sky, not like some sleepy grandpa, you know, who's kind of fallen asleep at the wheel. No, God has chosen to reveal himself to us as a perfect, loving, heavenly father, like a father. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what your experience has been like of your earthly father, but all of us long for the love and acceptance, for the approval, and even the involvement of our fathers in our lives. And some of us have experienced that. And so God being like a father is super easy to understand and to lean into his love. But for so many others, so many of us, that concept of God is like a father is hard to grasp, and there's things we've got to overcome because of what we've experienced on this earth. But here's the good news for all of us, is that God wants all of us to live in the blessing of our Heavenly Father. He wants us to live in the blessing of our Heavenly Father, where we realize that we are loved by God, that we are accepted by God, that we don't have to earn God's approval because we've already been approved because of what he's won for us on the cross. And that realize that God, our Heavenly Father, is involved in our lives. And so the invitation of heaven is to simply receive God's grace, to turn to God and to be adopted as a child of God. Today we're going to be looking at three huge concepts. Huge concepts about who your Heavenly Father is. And we're going to be talking about these, and I want you to know that if you can just grasp these, not just in your head, but in your heart, it can completely change the way you relate to God and change the way you live. We're going to be talking today about the three omnis of God. The three omnis of God. Now, some of you, I'm from Atlanta, and I recognize that you may be immediately thinking about the Atlanta Hawks when I say the word omni. I'm not talking about where they used to play basketball, but it's the same word. The word omni simply means all. And so we're going to be talking about these three concepts, how God is omnipotent, which means that God is all-powerful. Nothing is too big for God. Number two, we're going to talk about how God is omnipresent, which means that God is always present. He's always present. He's everywhere. And number three, how God is omniscient, how God is all-knowing. God knows everything. And those seem kind of like emotionless, sterile terms to talk about our Heavenly Father. But I want you to know that if we can receive these, not just in our head, but in our heart, wow, it can make a massive difference in our lives. And so, with that said, the bottom line we're going to be looking at today is this, is that God is more powerful, more present, and more knowing than you ever imagined. Let me say it again. God is more powerful, more present, and more knowing than you ever imagined. And so with that, let's jump in to the first omni of your Heavenly Father. Number one, how God is omnipotent. How God is omnipotent, which means God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. There is no limit to God's power, not only in your life, but in the world. God is all-powerful. You know, most of us, we love to feel like we're, in some sense, like we're in control of things in our lives. In fact, if you've ever received a driver's license, I remember getting my driver's license at 16 years old, and I remember being just so excited and feeling like, man, I'm kind of in control now. I got behind a steering wheel of a car, and for the most part, I could kind of drive where I wanted to. It felt so good to just kind of be in control of the wheel in some ways. And it's one of those things where most of us, we want to feel like we're kind of at the steering wheel in our life, like we can manage the things that are going on in our lives kind of on our own. Because if we don't have to, if we can handle things on our own, it means that we don't have to depend on anybody else to help us. Like, we've got it. But I want to share with you something you already know, that you all have limited capacity. You have limited capacity. And let me explain it with this bucket. Some of us, we feel like we have so much capacity, By the way, don't make fun of my pink bucket, okay? It's a big bucket, and I cannot lie, all right? Some of us feel like we have a whole lot of capacity. There's things that we're always signing up for and involved in, and we can go through things, and we like to feel like we can kind of manage our family and manage our finances and manage the storms of our life on our own. And some of us can do that on our own to some degree. But some of us, we feel like we have a lot of capacity. Some of us feel like we have a lot of capacity, but we hold up our bucket and we start to realize as things get put in the capacity of our bucket, we start to realize there's a lot of holes in our capacity. That every time something gets poured in, things leak out all around us. But the truth is, no matter what your capacity is, right, all of us at some point in our lives are going to reach the end or the edge of whatever we can hold on our own. At some point, things are going to happen in your life that's going to be bigger than you can manage. And it doesn't mean that you can't handle anything. But in those moments, what starts to happen when things feel over your capacity, you start to feel in that moment like you're powerless. Like, man, this situation, I feel powerless. This circumstance, I feel powerless. And so here's the question. What do you do? What do you do when you start to feel powerless in your life? In some ways, it could be the greatest blessing that ever happened. Because in those moments, one of the greatest points of hope is to realize that your Heavenly Father, your perfect Heavenly Father, is all-powerful. That He is an almighty, all-powerful God who is in heaven, and He's bigger than all of this. He's bigger than all of this. What I can't handle with my capacity, it's so small compared to God and His power. And so with that said, God is more powerful than anything we face. That's the concept. You know, we see God's power at work in so many places in Scripture, but especially when it comes to God's creation. And I love how Jeremiah, the prophet, said it like this in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Here's what he said. He said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power, an outstretched arm." And then he says this, "Nothing is too hard for You." Nothing is too hard for You. Now, let me give you a little bit of context. Jeremiah is going through a really, really difficult time. Quite frankly, the people of God were in a situation where things were kind of out of their control. Because so many times God's people were about to lose their land and to lose their homes because they kept turning away from God. And you see, every time God's people would turn to God, they were filled with so much strength and so much power. But every time they would turn away from God and to kind of rely on themselves and to rely on other things, suddenly they would start to get so weak. And so they're about to lose their home due to exile and because they stopped relying on God. And in the middle of this bad situation, what does Jeremiah do? Jeremiah the prophet, he looks up to heaven. He looks up to heaven and he as he's looking at the stars, you might imagine, he says this. He says, "Ah, sovereign Lord," which basically means, "God, this is out of my control. This is out of our control. But God, You're ultimately in control. You're sovereign." He looks up to heaven and he realizes, "God, You're the one who created this world. You're the one who created even us." And so, you know, it's one of those things where, so even this bad situation is not too hard for You. You know, what happens when you look up? When you start to look up, it puts your problems in proper perspective. It puts your problems in proper perspective. And what happens is you're connecting your problems with the power of God. You connect your problems with the power of God. And that's what God wants you to do. Connect your problems to the power of God. To the power of God. Here's the thing. This has been a really stressful season. It's been a really stressful season and for all of us. With the pandemic and with school decisions and with so much, seems like this perpetual state of uncertainty that we're living in. But the problem is, so many of us in our lives have been living our lives basically unplugged from our power source. We've been living our lives kind of unplugged from a power source. And God is saying to us, "I am Your almighty, all-powerful God, and I'm inviting you to plug into My power." Now here's the thing, the other night, my family, we went outside at nighttime, and it was the International Space Station was about to come, you know, kind of in the sky, in view of where we were. And so we went outside, and we were looking up. And as I looked at the heavens, as I looked at the stars, as I saw Jupiter and different planets, I looked up at the stars, and I started to realize, wow, how small I am compared to how big God is. How small I am compared to how big God is, compared to the world that God created. And I thought about this song, as all this stuff's been going on in our lives, I thought about that song that says, He's got the whole world in His hands. 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 And it was almost like God was saying to me, Andy, don't you realize that I'm the creator of all of this? I'm the creator of all of this. I made the world and I made you. I made all of this. It's all part of my creation. And don't you realize that I am your almighty God who is sitting on a throne? And all the things that you might be worried about, it's not your job as a created thing to hold things up and to hold things together in your family, in the situations of your life. It's almost like God was saying, Andy, if I can make all of this, if I can handle all of this, I can handle the biggest decisions, the biggest problems, the biggest difficulties in your life. You see, your Creator God not only has the power to create the world, but God has the power to hold the world and to hold us together. Because God is bigger than the biggest things we face. We see God's power all over the scripture, how God healed the sick, how God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. And maybe the greatest demonstration of God's power when God raised Christ Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday. But I thought about a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Abraham. Abraham was in a situation in his life where he was very old in his age at this point, and him and his wife Sarah had been unable to have a child their whole life. They're very advanced in their age, and they'd kind of given up on that dream because it was impossible. And in that moment, God intersected their lives. And God came with an incredible promise that made them even laugh when they heard about it. God basically came to Abraham and Sarah and said, look, I want to overcome the biggest obstacle that's in your life. And not only am I going to give you a child of your own, not only is it going to be your child, but I am going to take that one child and I'm going to build the entire family of God from your offspring. And God told Abraham, Abraham, look up. Look at the stars and count them if you can. He says, as many stars are in the sky, that's how many children you're going to have. That's how many descendants you're going to have someday. And they almost couldn't believe it. But it says this in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. It says this, Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. And so out of a barren situation, God had the power to bring about a blessing. And it's just a reminder to us that God is all powerful, which means that God can overcome any closed door in your life, any barren situation. It means that God can take any of those things and he can turn them and create them into an opportunity. And so here's the thing, the greatest part though about your Heavenly Father's power, about him being all powerful, is that God chooses to use his power to work through us. All throughout Scripture, we see examples of how God went to ordinary people and empowered them, filled them up with his supernatural power, and enabled them to do things that were way beyond their own ability. In fact, I think of stories of the power of God, like the story of David and Goliath, where David, this little boy with a sling and a stone and the power of our Almighty God, he was able to defeat the giant Goliath. I think about stories like Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, where, man, they were facing an enemy that was so much bigger and a fortified city that they couldn't overcome. And what did God do? God enabled them and empowered them to overcome the city. I think of the people like the early disciples who were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And people were healed in Jesus' name. People cast out demons in Jesus' name. God enabled them to multiply the loaves and the fish in his name. And those ordinary disciples, as they were sent out into the world, they shared the gospel. And because they were filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit, the gospel is still spreading today. There's nothing that God can't do. So here's the first big idea. God is more powerful than anything we face, and God invites us to plug in to his power. So here's the thing, plug into his power. That's our job. Our God is unlimited in power. Will you plug in? Will you connect your life to the power of God? You know, my son Peyton has always had a really big faith in God. He's always trusted God in big ways, even at an early age. And it's funny, when he was maybe 2, 3, 4 years old, as early as that, every once in a while, my wife Mandy and I would be talking about things that we're kind of, you know, working through, some obstacles or maybe a problem or a barrier or a challenge in our lives. And we'd be talking about it, and all of a sudden, out of the mouth of my 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old son, Peyton would look at me and he would speak into that situation and he would say, Daddy, my God can do anything. Daddy, my God can do anything. That's how he used to talk, right? Very cute. My God can do anything. And out of the mouth of a child came this incredible promise of who God is, this reminder that when I feel powerless, that God is more powerful than anything we face. Because God is almighty, because God is all-powerful, he can empower us. He can work through us in the middle of whatever we face, and he can empower us to do incredible things for the world around us. God is all-powerful. But the second part of it is so important, because we'll never experience God's power unless number two is true. The second omni of your Heavenly Father is that God is omnipresent, which means that God is always present. He's always with us, working on our behalf. You know, Scripture shows us that God is not some distant God. Instead, God is near, he's close, he's present as your loving Father. And somehow, God has the ability to be present everywhere, to everyone, all at the same time. And here's the thing, it's not difficult for God to be present all at the same time. You know, as a parent, sometimes, you know, we can kind of get on our cell phone and our kids are talking to us and we're kind of distracted. Or maybe we're talking to one of our other kids. You know, I've got multiple kids, so I've got 3 kids. So sometimes we're talking to one of my other kids with somebody else wants something. Our Heavenly Father isn't like that. Our Heavenly Father is never distracted or divided in his presence. You know, here's the thing. Here's the big truth about number two. Number two is that God is more present than we can ever imagine. And God invites us to lean into his presence. God is more present than we can ever imagine. And God invites us to lean into his presence. But here's the problem. We have a spiritual enemy. We have a spiritual enemy named Satan who likes to speak lies over us about who God is and where we are. And Satan's biggest tool is to try to tell us and try to speak over us, try to make us believe that, you know what, you're in this world all alone. That there's not a God out there. You're all alone in this whole thing. It's all about what your capacity can take. So go get them, tiger. But once Satan fails at that, once he fails at limiting the reality of God in our lives, the next trick of Satan is he starts to try to say, well, if there really is a God, then God must be weak, God must be harsh, God must be distant from you because, you know, maybe he's so busy with other stuff that he's not really paying attention to the things in your life. But the truth is, there is not a single day that has ever gone by in your life There is not a single breath that you've ever breathed in your lungs where God's presence hasn't been with you. God's presence has always been with you. In fact, the truth is the only place that you could ever experience a moment outside of God's presence is in Satan's territory in hell. Hell is a place where God's presence is absent. And so the truth is, on this earth, you are never alone, because the big idea in Scripture that we see over and over is that God is with us. God is with us. King David wrote about that in Psalm 139. And here's what he says, starting in verse 7. He said, he's rejoicing, and he's saying, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, he says, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. See, whether you acknowledge it or not, God's presence is always there. He's always there. He's always working in your life, working to support you and encourage you, working to give you strength, maybe steering you in the right direction, and working to show his love to you. God is always present. You know, there is no valley that you could ever go where God's presence doesn't follow you. There's no heap of sin or failures in your life that you could ever mount up like dirty laundry and say, see God, that God would ever say, okay, my presence isn't there. God is even there. You know, nothing can take God's presence away in your life. In fact, one time Moses, in the Scripture, Moses was freaking out. Moses was pretty overwhelmed by what God had called him to do. And God had called him to lead the Israelites, to lead God's people. But every time Moses would try to lead them, they'd just kind of, mope and complain. Maybe sounds like stuff that you see in your house, right? And so Moses is freaking out. And he said, God, how do you expect me to lead people like this? And in the middle of that, God spoke these words in Exodus 33, starting with verse 14. God said to Moses, he said, Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses, it's not about your own capacity and your ability to lead my people with your own abilities. He says, Moses, I know this is beyond your capacity. He says, but here's the thing. My presence is going to go with you. You're not alone. And because my presence is going with you, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. See, here's the thing. There is a real peace that comes when you realize that God's presence is with you. That's what happened with Moses. Like a loving heavenly father, God is walking with you every step of the way. I love how the Lord, when God called the new leader Joshua, Joshua thought a very similar thing. How can I do, God, what you're calling me to do? And in Joshua 1:9, here's what God said. God said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be, here it is, will be with you wherever you go. Here's what the psalmist wrote about that in Psalm 46. He said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. See, God's always present. He says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. In other words, when things are falling apart around me, God is our refuge and strength. And in verse 10, he says this. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And the psalmist says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, God is not distant from us. God is always close to us, wanting to hold us up and hold us together, working in every season of our lives. But God's presence works like a relationship. See, God is always drawing near to you. But the question for you is this: are you drawing near to God? I mean, God wants a relationship. God reaches out to us and he says, my presence is going with you. But here's the second big truth. God is more present than we can ever imagine. And God invites us to lean into his presence. The question is, will you? Will you lean into God's presence and experience him working in your life? The third omni of God, the third omni of your heavenly Father, number three, is that God is omniscient. Omniscient, which means that God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. I think Google Maps is really helpful to understand this concept that God knows everything. And think about, there's two different views in Google Maps. There's kind of like the street view, you know, where you zoom in on a certain location, you put your little man, you know, you put your little man on the street, and the little man can kind of look around and can see, you know, basically what's in front of you and what's immediately around you. But in Google Maps, there's also the main setting where you can zoom out. You can zoom out and see where you are on the map compared to the entire world around you. Now, here's the thing. All of us live our lives kind of like in street view, you know? We live our lives kind of like in street view. Everything is kind of zoomed in and close up, and we can relatively see what's going on. We can relatively see what's going on in our lives, you know, what's around us, what's immediately in front of us, but we don't really see the whole picture. But God is sitting on a throne in heaven. And because God is on a throne in heaven, God knows, God understands, and God sees the whole picture. He sees everything happening all at the same time because God can see from such a higher perspective. Now here's the thing, God knows our deepest needs, our deepest desires, and God knows what's best for us. And so here's the third thing, number three, I want you to know that God is all-knowing, and because of that, we can trust God with our lives. God is all-knowing, so we can trust God with our lives. I think one of the biggest ways to understand this, that God is all-knowing, is when it comes to the word time, how we view our time. And I'm going to close with this. In the Greek language, there's two different words for time. The first word is the word chronos. Chronos. And this is basically chronological time. Chronological time, linear time, sequential time. Basically, like our calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, August, September, October, November. The thing is, most of us live in chronos time. We live in a world that's all about kind of relating in chronos time, where it's kind of all about, all right, what's on our schedule, what's our plans coming up, and we kind of live there. And so oftentimes when we pray, we tend to think in chronos time. You know, so oftentimes we think, well, gosh, God seems to be late right now. God seems to be kind of taking a long time with what I've been praying about. Or sometimes, whoa, I prayed about something and God, that seems like that happened too fast. But here's the thing, the second word in the Greek language for time is the word kairos, kairos. And kairos means just the right time. It's basically God's perfect timing, just the right time. Think of it like a fruit, and when a fruit becomes ripe, it's just the right time. And so when God looks at the world around us, we tend to want God to fix our situation, to jump into a certain reality and to help us in this moment. We expect God to stop this virus and stop this situation by Monday, by August, by when school starts. Come on, God. But the truth is, when God works in the world, God works in kairos time, God's perfect timing. You know, because God knows all things, God has a way to see beyond what we can see in the moment. And God does things always at just the right time. Now, we can certainly do things to get outside of God's timing, but God is never early. God is never late. God is always on time. He's all-knowing. And so here's an example of that in Scripture in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8. Paul says this. He says, "You see, at just the right time," kairos, God's perfect timing. "At just the right time," God's perfect timing, "when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, God's timing and his wisdom is always perfect. God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's not limited. He can see the whole picture. And because God is all-knowing, it means that we can trust God. We can trust him with our lives. And so here's the good news for us. When we take all these three concepts about our Heavenly Father, wow, and we put them together, we realize that your Heavenly Father knows all things. He knows all things, even the unspoken things about you. He knows everything. That your Heavenly Father is present. He's involved. He's actively working in your life. And your Heavenly Father is more powerful than anything we face. And when we realize those three things coming together, not only in our head, but in our heart, it can change your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are an almighty, all-powerful God. That God, that nothing is too big for you. God, I thank you that in every single situation, when we're in situations that go beyond our capacity, would you help us to look up? Would you help us to depend on your power and to be plugged in to how you want to empower us in that moment? God, I also thank you that you are a God who is always with us, that you're always present and working in our lives. Not a single day goes by when we are alone. And I pray for that person on the other side of this message who is watching this, and maybe in this moment you feel alone. Maybe there's been a whole lot of things on your plate and you feel like you're all alone in this. God, I pray that you would remind them that they are never alone, that you are with them and you're with us every step of the way. And God, I pray that you would help us to realize that you are not only a loving God, but God, you are all-knowing. You know everything about us and everything that's going on in our lives. You don't look at the street view. You're looking at the eternal view. And would you help us to realize that because you know all things, we can trust you with our lives. God, that is our prayer. Would you help us to lean into that reality? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.